If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And we're here to kind of help set the stage for our guest, because we've got Harry the Greek coming on a little bit later. And so I've got a little time to kind of cover a few pieces of content that kind of didn't get a chance to address earlier. And so I think it's important that we kind of maintain a little bit of focus. So the first thing that we really need to focus on, and I probably need to say this, and I'm going to create a meme. We're going to put this up on the Take Action page because I believe memes are important to use these in social media. By all means, help yourself to any of these and start using them in social media. We have one meme that basically tells you that state governments cannot take away your liberty by telling you you can't work, telling you you can't go to church for any reason, whether it's a runny nose, a legitimate pandemic, it doesn't matter. They don't have that power. Even emergency powers don't grant that type of power. Which is why the Constitution says exactly what it does. It says that no state can make or enforce any law that abridges your privileges and immunities. If you're willing, if you're okay with going out and, you know, braving it in this, you know, next pandemic that they're the plandemic, then that's on you. You can't hold government accountable, but government cannot shut you down, period. So we'd like to actually get your utilization of these types of memes out there because we believe that it's more about getting the message out than anything else, because reasonable people, equally informed, and the only way we can get them equally informed is we've got to challenge their paradigms. That's exactly what memes do. So the next meme we're really going to talk about that I need to get up, I need to get it done, is one that basically asks the question, why is the RNC allowing Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy, if that's pronounced right, I always have to say that, why are they allowing them to actually campaign for the presidential election? They're not eligible. They don't meet the standards of a natural-born citizen. So why is it that they're allowed? Why don't we just let Arnie run, too? I mean, everybody knew a long time ago that Arnie wasn't. Oh, I guess he needed to bring his parents here as immigrants and become the anchor babies because anchor babies are naturally born. No, they're not. The 14th Amendment is clear. Your parents, those who are having the child in America, they have to be under the full jurisdiction. In other words, they can't be under the jurisdiction of another nation. In other words, this is the final in other words, they have to be a U.S. citizen. They have to have naturalized at that point in time. And so there's some things we need to do to clean up. But folks, it's far more important that we actually start working on becoming a movement, because becoming a movement is really where we're going to be able to, I'll just say, make the difference. It's not about a viral video. It is about getting people completely on board. And if we don't have a movement, this nation's lost. The court system will not, the court system is so corrupt, it cannot save us. Our party system is so corrupt, it cannot save us. Our Congress and our state legislatures are so corrupt, those cannot save us. I mean, we have good people in, but that's not enough. And our counties have gone completely, you know, sideways because we've allowed all of this to happen. We're in the situation because of we the people. So we have to start standing up and demanding compliance of the Constitution. Not just we, you and I. We need to get our neighborhoods. You need to start having neighborhood meetings. You literally need to actually start telling people, look, if you care about our liberties, then we need to take a stand. And it's not like we're asking you to pick up arms. We're not asking anybody to take any danger. Our weapon is the pen and paper. We're going to use petitions to educate and demand, we're going to basically articulate our demands in these petitions. Either give us what we want or we will replace you at the next election. Now, I will tell you that they're going to get to a point with AI and everything else that they'll be able to run every election. If they're able to maintain this network of corruption with the Dell computers, if you own a Dell, you need to make that the last Dell you ever buy. Anybody that is buying and owning Dell, and I can tell you the government contracts, they are all buying Dell. At least when I was walking away from contracting, that's what they were buying and deploying into the clouds and so forth. Dell everywhere. No wonder. If you go to newsothersmiss.com, I think I mentioned this yesterday. If you go there, you'll actually see these stories. Start reading these stories. Start looking at, the specific models that are very problemsome, but more importantly, if it is being done at that level, it's being done at probably every level. It's just not safe to own a Dell. It's not safe to own an Innova, the old IBM brand Innova. Why did IBM sell that brand to China? Because IBM wanted China to actually be able to take over that brand and make this clean transition. Because as long as Innova was Innova, they didn't change the name or anything else, people would think, hey, this is still a decent computer. And you'd be surprised how many people own Innova types of computers, laptops, what have you. What we need to do, though, is really basically create, I want to get back to this because I want to focus and then move on to the next topic. We need a meme that basically challenges, why has the RNC not come out and declared Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy as ineligible to run? Please do not give them consideration. Do not do anything. It's, we can't control who actually wants to run a campaign, but they have no chance in heck in being the president because we won't let them, period. We're not going to let them actually represent the Republican Party. If we have to sue them, we will. And I think I pointed out, folks, that when the framers actually defined this, the Supreme Court can't come along and redefine it. They can't basically change the words and say, well, okay, any child, they can't create the concept of an anchor baby. Because in 1790, they obliterated that possibility of even happening. Somebody can be here as a visitor, as somebody that is a guest from another country. That does not make them a citizen. It does not make their children a citizen. It was that simple. And that's how it was. So whether you're a guest or whether you're an invader, we actually have to look at, I'll just say through a more refined lens, these people are a threat because they actually came here outside of our laws. Why would we even give them any courtesy? They're invaders. So when these names come up in any form, we would ask that you challenge them. And as a matter of fact, this will be in the meme. Get it and just use the meme and make your own comments. Do your due diligence. Go look at, the wiki pages for both of these people. It tells you right there that both of their parents were, citizens of whatever nation that while they were here, when they were born. They did not get naturalized until after these children were born. So, you know what, Nikki Haley, you may have, you know, some pretty nice ideas, but you can never be president. It's that simple. Now, Ramaswamy, I mean, this I don't even know how he's even running on a Republican ticket. Maybe a Libertarian ticket. Maybe he should be on a Libertarian ticket because he's out there. And and so anyway, it's one thing to start. Folks, when you actually don't hold on to, you don't even have a grasp of a limited and defined government, that government shouldn't be doing any of these things, and you get somebody like him, you get somebody like Will Duncan, or whatever, the guy from the CIA. When you get people like that that say, you know, we got to open up the playbook and really think out of the box, and no. These are the only things that you can do. This is it. You know, actually, if you get us back within the box, America would become great. We don't need, and actually we can't have all of these alliances around the world. They're unconstitutional. They don't have the authority to create alliances and subjugate the United States. And so, anyway, let me move on. One of the things that kind of really got me a little upset this weekend was this concept. Oh, you know what? I'm going to run out of time. When we come back, this is going to be hairy. I will cover this pillaging and racial crimes and so forth some other day. When we come back, you're going to actually hear Harry talking about some viable opportunities, and that's what we really want to address with you after we come back from the show. Or after we come back from his interview. So stay tuned right after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, well, yeah, if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, this would be great. Thank you so much. Okay.
It's okay. I look for news stories that other people miss. That's exactly what I do.
All right, good.
So I have a unique niche. If somebody's writing about something like the Trump arrest, everybody's covering it, so I'm not, just to give me an example. So.
Right. And the news others miss is .com is your website.
Right, correct.
Okay. All right. And if you want me to give your email out or other information so people can contact you, then I'll be happy to do that.
It's Harry the Greek.
Okay. All right.
At Proton, ProTon, .me.
Right. Okay. I'll get that up there too then. Awesome. So you've been writing a lot of stories, and I guess the one that really piques my interest, because I actually reside in Washington State, and I know that you've been kind of reporting on the Kinect case and the stealing of the election data, or actually it's not even stealing because we're handing it over, and you've also exposed or highlighted Dell and the Dell computers that are involved in the election process. So this kind of goes down a few different paths as I look at what you've kind of reported on. So I want the listeners to actually go and read your blog. But can you give us some details of where we are with some of the Connect cases? Because if I remember correctly, there's actually a couple of different lawsuits regarding this. Is that not correct?
There's several of them. I'm trying to give you the best summary for your readers.
Okay.
And my stories are pretty short. They're usually under 200 words. And they're not very long. So I'm going to try to, the best way I can summarize it is I'm working with a group out of Wake County, North Carolina, and Raleigh. They have filed a $20 million cyber claim against Berkley Insurance. The county has insurance of $20 million to guard against preventing the release of personal identifiable information, social security numbers. And with these stories and with the election equipment that they're using, we can verify that the cyber breach has occurred within the next 60 has occurred within the last 60 days. It'll occur again in the next 60 days, and that triggers a claim. All this lawsuit stuff, none of these judges want to hear these cases, and they don't need a reason to dismiss it. They just dismiss it without even putting in a reason. So what we're trying to do is, I think everybody's been in some sort of car accident or a claim on their house or whatever, but that bypasses the legal system. And next week, I'm having an attorney in Arizona file a letter. It's not a lawsuit. It's a letter asking the Arizona Insurance Commissioner to withdraw the license, cancel the license of Berkley Insurance because they failed to place cyber claims. Our claim was filed with the general counsel who's in charge of their whole legal department. It was filed with their head of claims. No response. And that'll definitely get their attention. Okay? I focus on things that are happening today and tomorrow. That story will probably be written as soon as I get confirmation that letter has been sent out to the Arizona Insurance Commissioner. It says right in the policy, if you want to complain or file a lawsuit, the first thing you have to do is file this letter with the Arizona Insurance Commissioner. That's exactly what they've been doing. So what I'd like to ask your listeners to do, wherever they live, whatever county it is, go on their website and file a request of public information. You want to know the name of the company that insures their county for cyber insurance. Very simple.
Uh-huh.
When you get that back, I'm going to read the whole policy. I spent 15 years in the insurance business. I used to investigate workers' compensation claims. All right, I was a criminal investigator at one time. So I got pretty good familiarity of how this stuff should work and how. And with that information, the complaint has to be filed by a resident of that county. So don't send me that information unless you're willing to stand up and be identified as the person who filed the claim. If you don't, I'll file it for you, but I'll do it anonymously, okay?
Okay.
But it would have a bigger impact because you're a resident.
Right.
You suffered a damage. I didn't.
Absolutely. Okay.
So I'm looking for the policy and the policy number. The policy will tell me how to draft the complaint. Yeah, or how to trigger the claim, because the language will tell you exactly what triggers it.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, in Wake County's case, it says right there that if Social Security numbers have been released, that triggers a claim. So, you know, boom. I'm looking for a policy number.
Okay.
They should get this back in less than a week. If they don't, I'll help you file it again.
Okay.
So
what kind of claim are they filing? Are they basically filing a claim?
A cyber breach that's resulted in the release of confidential information of their residents. And it's the insurance policy covers those types of damages.
Okay.
And so that's what the claim's for.
Okay, And so is there a do you need to actually point to a given acknowledgement, like the state government and county governments, where they've been breached, or do you just have to? Okay, all right.
In other words, once I look at it, in this case, the Wake County sends their all their information, all the information of people who are registered to vote, all their residents. Their motor vehicle information, which again specified on this particular policy, is being a breach. Okay, it says right there. If you end up sending motor vehicle information, it's a breach. And most of these states, like North Carolina, belong to a nonprofit group that's run by Hillary's attorney, Mark Elias. And also a fellow by the name of David Becker, who's been working for the Clinton administration since Bill was president. And I've got their particular provisions, and I can confirm that the Social Security numbers of Social Security is going to that organization. And with that, they can make fictitious, they can steal the identities of valid registered voters and create false profiles. And we don't have to get into the election theft, but the key thing is the theft of personal identifiable information. So this is a new path, which we don't have to get in an argument on software and all this other stuff.
Right. I get it. That's a brilliant idea. And actually, if you don't mind me going down a rat hole. There's even advertisements that title lock, that people are losing their titles because their own housing information, their deeds and all of that stuff is online. And so when somebody actually comes in and basically downloads this stuff, that's actually easily, I mean, it's not even a cyber breach where somebody's hacked in. They're actually putting this stuff that's available online with MLS and these other types of things. And to me, that's a cyber crime, too, when somebody that, you know, is obtaining personal information that's actually should be protected by our Fourth Amendment right, when somebody can have access to that, is that not a cyber breach?
I don't think it is, just from what I'm hearing. Doesn't mean it doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean there's an action in court, but you're not going to get anywhere in court on that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I deal with people all over the country. I've got six lawsuits where I'm working with the attorneys to try to get the Connect data that was seized from October 4th.
Okay.
A cyber team from Fort Belvoir of 20 people spent 200 hours logging all the evidence from Connect and Eugene U. Connect is a software company.
Right.
And I've got cyber people that can verify that the data has gone to Wuhan, Beijing, Barcelona, Norway, Frankfurt. And I'm just being brief here because... You know, I've already worked on a bunch of different things, but
right.
Those people have already proved that in their reports. The question is how to get in an evidence, and so far we've been unsuccessful.
Right. So
I can.
So let me ask you this, because I know that my listeners are going, well, if I'm going to call and make a claim on a cyber breach, then they would need to provide maybe some type. I mean, I would think that the sheriff would say, well, we're not just going to write a report unless you have some substantial evidence. So
we're not going that route. Let me just interrupt you.
Okay.
They shouldn't call the county up because then they're going to start destroying evidence.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to rig an election. All you need is the governor.
Mm-hmm.
His attorney general, which basically represents him. It doesn't represent the people of the state.
Interesting.
The Secretary of State, who makes up the rules as they go about what they're going to count as a vote, is a valid vote, and what they're going to throw out. And the person in the county that runs the elections. With those four people, you can rig any election. Okay? So I prefer to go with... What's a bad example, but I'm going for the main strongest point that they really can't defend themselves against.
Okay.
Now, these other things that you mentioned about the titles and stuff, right. Well, people's titles are public information. Okay, so to prove that's a cyber claim is going to take a lot of work. I've already been able to prove the other, so I'm going to stay with that.
Okay.
Your listeners should not file this by themselves. If they want to, it's fine, and I can tell you flat out, you're going to blow it.
Okay.
Because then they'll be on guard. They'll do everything they can to prevent the insurance company from going in there and investigating. We want the insurance company to go in and... If they use Dell computers, let me see what data this story is on my website.
Right. Yes, I saw that. Yes.
It shocked me. All right. I get it from a guy that, well, put it this way. Elections are stolen with Dell computers. I named 35 specific Dell computers that these software companies, you name any of them, they all use them. And Election Assistance Commission not only admits that their motherboards and capacitors are faulty, but so do companies like Dominion, and their only answer to that is, well, we'll just put a security patch. Well, the security patch doesn't fix defective computer hardware.
Right.
Okay? So, it's a matter of getting somebody to do something on this.
Right. Okay.
Will my team and will I be successful?
Uh-huh.
No. But I can tell you flat out, lawsuits aren't going anywhere. Okay.
Right.
And since 2016, I haven't been able to, break through this.
Well, my listeners are activist based. In other words, they're not myopic on, Second Amendment and those types of things, because
that's great.
Because I'm sure you've probably ran into a lot of, I'll just say, either obstacles or brick walls when you've kind of started talking to some people that they only do, medical freedom, or they only do Second Amendment and those types of things. But, my listener base is, it's all about the full compliance of the Constitution. And this is why, I'm reaching out to you, because it sounds like, you've had and you're on the inside, and I'm coming from a state that has absolutely got the most corrupt election system of all of them that I'm aware of, which is Washington State.
Wyoming is?
No. Wyoming is my studio number. I'm actually I'm actually in Washington State.
Okay. All right.
So,
well, here. All I can say is they can do it themselves and try, which is fine. At least for another day, we're still in America, and you have the right to do that. Okay? But the big thing on this is the other side does not know how to respond to these. They have no control over the insurance claim process, the insurance process.
Right.
You get in a car accident, they really don't ask you. When you fill out the report, even when the police show up, what do they put down?
Okay.
Car one, hit car two. They just put down the facts, and then the insurance company, it's up to them to investigate. See what I mean? Who was hurt? How much, are they okay? Did they have medical bills? How seriously hurt? How much in damages would that call if our person's at fault? We don't have to allege who's at fault. We're just alleging in the complaint, this is what's going on, and it basically forces the insurance company to investigate. They have teams, these cyber teams for these insurance companies, they got six different divisions, from pre-breach, post-breach, hardware, software, all kinds of stuff.
Okay? Right.
So
right.
It's a lot more complicated than what I'm making it out to be, but unless it's only triggered when I have the policy, I know what the provisions are, I know how to write the claim up, and I get a policy number.
Excellent.
Now,
so,
if your folks can do that, I've been married for 45 years, but I could kiss you, honey. All right?
Okay. All right. So there's 3,143 counties in America. So It sounds to me like you'd be good to have at least one representative from each county working with you to make sure that they can initiate these cyber crime claims then.
Well, put it this way. The Democratic Party only has to fix the elections in the 100 largest cities, and that'll carry the vote.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. However, to have a valid claim, you have to be a resident in that county. If you're damaged, you have to find somebody in that county.
Right. Absolutely. I get it. It lends the credibility and veracity of the argument. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. So, folks, the ball again is in your hands, that you actually have the opportunity to step in and actually lead a charge so that we can actually start this investigation. Now, let me ask you this, Harry. Is it common within states that they actually have, like, the state will contract for the counties, or does each county have an independent contract?
County has to. There's several layers.
Okay.
I'm focusing on the county.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Counties, mm-hmm. the counties. The state has their own cyber policies. I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
Obviously, once I get in there, then we'll expand it further to what the state cyber policies are.
Interesting. Okay? Interesting.
Okay. So they both have, but I'm going through the throat here. I know this is the strongest case I've got. And either works or it doesn't. And believe me, when Berkeley Insurance Company hears that the state of Arizona is investigating them to cancel their license, I think we're going to get their attention. And it's the same companies that write the insurance.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, yeah, it'll get their attention, and it'll spread out through the whole, let's see, I got to clean up my language, the whole country.
Right. So it makes complete sense to me. Let me do another detour. You were talking about the Dell computers.
Yes.
Now, it seems to me like what you're lending to is a hardware that is a part of the hard system, the architecture of the motherboard, where there's probably a ROM chip that actually provides a read-only instructions to transmit specific information or to transmit all information, because I know Innova, which is made in China, every Innova computer that comes into the United States, I know the federal government has put out, you cannot use that on any government system because those things have the exact same types of chips on them where it is just transmitting everything back to the mothership, China. And so it sounds like Dell has gone down that path.
Well, Dell is operated by the CIA. I wrote that story on August 13th.
Wow.
And the source is the CIA. Here's the title. CIA still controls Dell Technologies. Primary source is Michael Dell.
Uh-huh.
He talks about Don Phelan, who helps set up the, what do they call it, the Third Option Foundation. If you put in a search engine, Third Option Foundation, it's right in my story.
Right, okay.
But Dell Computer was specifically set up by the CIA to do these types of things. And
right.
Now they're a technology company. And now technology, they can grab anything they want. I can tell you flat out that Kinect, they have connectors so that all these election results are all on the same telecommunications backbone.
Uh-huh.
And I've got cyber experts that can specify who they are and where these signals are going. Okay, this
right.
And it all connects to the same line, and it also connects to Associated Press. All the fake news outlets. Where do you think they get the election results from? They get it from one source, AP, Associated Press. And how do they get it? They get a direct, dedicated line of the fixed election results. All right, so it goes right there. They're right into this. So I'm sorry for taking up doing most of the talking.
No,
I don't like to talk. But.
That's okay. That's exactly what we want, though. I mean, you're mi casa, your casa. So back to the CIA. So have you ever looked at or talked about AWS, Amazon Web Services, and Amazon's relationship with the CIA?
Yes.
Okay.
Here, let me just, I'm scrolling down. I'm on my website now, and it's designed so that people, it works best on a cell phone. So they can listen to this radio show if they're listening by phone, go to their search engine, put in news that others miss, and they can scroll down. I'm scrolling down on my stories here. As soon as I find it, I'll ring a bell. One moment.
Yeah, so it's got to be on the older post because I didn't go down that far. I just went down to the bottom.
I think I got it, except I'm going down to July 20th. All right. Guess where Tonic CEO Eugene Yu was moved to? Guess where he was assigned by the Department of Homeland Security, who he's been working for since 2003. Guess where he's at?
Somewhere in the Chinese kind of country now? He got moved out of the United States, right?
Okay, Malaysia.
Yeah, okay.
And my source is his attorneys. I can't believe what I get from his own attorneys. Unbelievable. Anyway, this is the right story.
Uh-huh.
Do I talk about AWS? Yes, I do. And all these election systems are operated by the Pentagon. I've written several stories on this. This is one of them. But Eugene Yu has been in Malaysia since November, since he escaped from the country out of L.A.
Uh-huh.
When Hillary's attorney, Mark Elias, called the prosecutor in L.A. County to drop the case. See what I mean? It all connects.
Yes. So,
And I don't mean it to be a pun. But,
No. It does. You're connecting the dots specifically. So one thing I knew, and I read this a long time ago, and this is how I think there's another big connection here, is that Amazon, when it started, it basically offered all of its user data, everything you bought and everything you looked at while you were logged in. They kept track of everything you did, and they provided that information to the CIA. And so Amazon, as it moved forward, that's one of the reasons why Amazon was operating in the red for years and was never delisted, because they were providing valuable information on all of their shoppers. And so Amazon developed this Amazon Web Services for cloud computing, where they can centralize all the storage, processing, and everything else. For, as you know, what cloud computing does for their big customers. And when Amazon actually received from Clapper, so General Clapper actually gave Amazon, while he was in the intelligence community director, he gave them a no-bid contract to actually use Amazon Web Services to put all of the classified information. There's a great article. I can send it to you, but it actually
I don't need that.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. I already got press releases from the Pentagon that already says this.
Okay, yeah.
I need primary sources. It's in my story.
Right, okay.
And I also got a press release saying that the Pentagon is in charge of elections, U.S. elections. And where I'm on the Pentagon media list.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. And it's not just, and believe it or not, Amazon's the smallest one. In my story, companies involved are Google, Microsoft, Oracle. Microsoft is bigger than all three of those combined, and Microsoft is buying election software companies. So what does that tell you?
Right. Yes. And what about Apple? So Apple has been highly suspicious with their cloud and their sharing with China and so forth. It seems like Apple is basically on their knees with the Chinese Communist Party as well.
Yes, I've already written stories about that.
Okay,
one
great.
One of Eugene Yu's partners is named Michael Lee.
Okay.
He's the top consultant for Apple. He was the 2008. He developed President Obama's first fundraising app using a phone. This guy's a genius. He's in Amsterdam. He has an office in San Francisco. He works for BlackRock. And who said that? BlackRock. I got his image from their website, and there he is. He works there. And where do I get the information that Eugene Yu and Michael Lee are partners? I got it from the State of California Secretary of State Business Listing. It's public information. So there you go. Anyway, yes.
Okay, so
I'm gonna be brief here. Okay?
I know you got to go, so I don't want to keep you too long because I know I understand your personal situation. So absolutely okay.
I'm going to come on another time. You can ask me any other questions. You can get more in depth with your listeners.
Yes,
but we're filing. I think this will change the tide once this claim becomes public next week. And it'll be public when it's filed with the Arizona Insurance Commissioner.
Right, right, right.
And I could use the help of your listeners, and if they're willing to help, that's the contact information.
Yep. And
I live in Cleveland, Ohio, okay. So I get help from people from all over the country.
And you have and there's a donation. I think you have a donation on your page, right?
Right.
Okay.
If you scroll down, way down.
Okay.
Past the comments, you know, there's an orange rectangle on the bottom left,
yep,
called donate.
Donate, okay, right there, yeah. All right, so
just click that. You can, you know, whatever you can, you know. I appreciate those. They cut me off of Patreon, so I lost my money there. They just grabbed it. So anybody's got Patreon, you better get the heck off of that, because
right,
when they close it, they not only close down your websites and cancel it, they take all your money and they just say, well, try getting it from us. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So you don't use PayPal then either?
I don't know if I might. I don't know. I don't know if that's a choice or not. I don't even know anymore.
Okay. All right.
If they don't like the options there, they can always send me a check or whatever else they want to do.
Sure. Okay.
There's other ways to do it. Just contact me. Believe me, you know, I don't care if people give me $5. Okay. I still call them and thank them.
Fair enough. And every Friday, I usually break, because I read the Constitution, that type of stuff, on my show, because I know you're probably not familiar with this, but I actually have a very highly educated, constitutionally educated audience. And so we take breaks on Fridays. It's called Feedback Friday. So if there's anything that you want to, you know, break out, or something that happens and say, hey, I think your listeners may want to hear this, by all means, you've got my number.
Yeah.
You can just send me a text and say, let's do this. If not, I will, at, you know, random intervals, I'll just say, hey, let's kind of do a catch up where we are, you know, and because I definitely want to find out how many people reach out to you regarding the cyber cases that hopefully we'll be initiating in a lot of counties in America, folks.
45% of my readership is international. I didn't have any readership in Malaysia until I wrote this first story in July about what's going on in Malaysia.
There you go.
Now I have over 500 people in Malaysia reading it. And you can imagine, you can guess who's reading it. You know. So what I promise to do is, once I write a story with a copy of the letter to the Arizona Insurance Commissioner, that's when I'll get in touch with you. That's when it's news.
Okay,
and
great.
And you can. It's public information when I post it.
Right.
And,
so there's no doubt in my. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but there's no doubt in my mind that if we actually get cases opened in each of these counties regarding the cyber theft, cyber fraud. And so once those cases start coming out, then I believe your listenership hopefully will start shifting. Primarily, your readers will be in the United States, because this is where people really need to start learning and getting the truth. So anyway.
Let me just wrap it here.
Okay.
Now, I want to be clear here. These are insurance claims. These are not lawsuits.
I understand.
We're not going down the legal system. Let's put it this way. The legal system in this country now is designed to hide corruption, waste, and fraud, because all these settlements can be sealed and never disclosed. Nobody admits liability anymore. Well, our system wasn't set up like that. It was designed to disclose this information. Even on these hearings for Eugene Yu, they're holding them behind closed doors with people from the CIA, FBI, and Justice Department in there, because I've had people in the courtrooms that saw this stuff. Did I lose you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I thought I might have, I thought I lost the connection.
No, you did.
But, yeah, the beauty of this is we're not relying on the existing legal system.
I think this is brilliant. I love ways of being able to flush things to the surface. And again, we did get lost there. So anyway, we just got cut off with Harry. I really appreciate his time. And so anyway, folks, we'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much.
Okay, so as you could probably tell, we kind of got cut off. Harry thought we got cut off because he was talking. We could hear him and he could hear us, but all of a sudden, it's kind of weird. We actually did get cut off. But anyway, we're going into break, like I just said, and we will be right back after this one promo, and then I'll go into the show close. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK. 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, folks. So what has to happen is we need you to contact Harry. So we've already got, let me double check, because while I'm talking, I want to make sure. I could have swore I already put it up, but you know, there's a good possibility that I haven't put it up. And let me go to the other links. I hit the other links, and we've got Todd Esquire. So it is not up as of right now, but it will be up by the end of this show, because I'll actually be able to get it up there and done before the show is over. So what we ask that you do is you reach out and contact Harry. He has his email there, and so bottom line, he will help you. He'll walk you through, just like he was saying. All he needs, and what he really would prefer, is having advocates do this themselves. That way he can kind of help guide you, because it's only about getting information and making an insurance claim. This is not, you know, you having to spend money on a lawyer or anything else. This is really just getting the ball rolling to get the insurance, the cybersecurity insurance for your county engaged. I find this very illuminating, and I hope, because we have a lot of listeners. All you have to do is just take a little effort in doing this one thing. If you really care about election integrity and getting your election rights back, because I tell you, it's only going to take another term for somebody to do even more damage to us, because they've been stealing our elections for decades. So we need you. We need your help. We need your support. And I would love to create, I hate to say it this way, but I'd love to create a problem, not to kill Harry, but I'd love to create a problem where he says, hey, GR, I got way too many people. I need some help here. And then we'll try to see what we can do as far as, you know, finding organizational help that he might be able to utilize, because that's a much better problem than the reality of the problem we're facing by allowing our elections to be openly stolen this way. So let me just move on to what I was going to say. Over the Jacksonville shooting, there's been way too many, you know, calls and decrees and so forth that says, you know, that this is apparently racially motivated crime. But actually, the reality is that this is an ideological crime, not necessarily a racially motivated crime. Yeah, there is ideologies that are very racist. Absolutely. And so, but it, again, this is ideological. And the problem I have is these ideologies. Well, it's terrible if somebody uses gun violence. You know, if somebody uses a gun, it is absolutely unacceptable. But it's okay for a huge, you know, group of people to use brute force and go down your city and pillage and basically terrorize you, the occupants of your city, destroy your towns, actually destroy all sorts of property. And some of the things we've actually learned is that some of the property that was destroyed was deliberately targeted so that that property would become worthless so investors could come in and snatch it up on pennies on the dollar. So don't tell me that we're not being manipulated. We're not. This, I tell you, anarchy is a tool for the communists and those people who are trying to subjugate us. The next thing I want to talk about, and we only got 2 minutes, so I think I can do this in 2 minutes. Youngkins of Virginia, he is the, help me out here. Youngkins is going out and asking people to, or actually the school districts and the kids in the schools to start using their proper pronouns and to quit pretending that you're a different pronoun than you are. He wants to actually have people start living in reality. And so bottom line, you know, it's great to see this fight against pretentiousness, because it is truly pretentious to allow children to think that there's something that they're not and allow them to, you know, enter into this fairyland. And so in more ways than one. And so what really made me think, and I want you to think about this, it's time we really reconsider the 16th Amendment, because there's way too many kids coming out of school today that have been weaponized by the education system, and they're going straight into the polls, and they will regret. Because I tell you what, when I was 18 and I voted, I regretted what I did. Because I was weaponized by my school system. Wasn't it? Well, it was bad. I mean, I voted Democrat. The only time I ever did in my entire life. But the fact of the matter is we need to reconsider the 26th Amendment and only allow those back up to 21 years old and only allow those. So we can put a caveat that only allows active status. In other words, people serving in the militia and or the National Guard, active status. In other words, they're getting a paycheck and they're not on reserve call. If they're on a reserve call, then no. Only for those that are active status. And it's one thing to be called into active status on a reserve contract in times of war. But see, the folks, if you understand, I'll just say the National Guard, these reservists, they actually go drill 2 times a year. Sometimes they'll pick up a 4-month stint or what have you. And so bottom line, we only want to make the caveat for those who have the cojones, for those who are brave enough, I should say, to put their life on the line, then I think that they should be entitled to vote. But to just grant it to every, you know, anybody under the age of 21, come on. I mean, we can't even expect a reasonable thought out of these folks. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.